Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Yo! Yo!
The breathless pace of modern living.
I'm Jim Burns. The breathless pace of modern living can make it seem like none of us has time for spiritual growth. Unfortunately, one of the areas that is hit the hardest by this line of thinking is our prayer life. Dr. Larry Crabb knows that the pressures and responsibilities of life today can rob us of the joy of releasing our cares to the Lord in prayer and truly experiencing His presence. Well, that's why he's challenging Christ followers to move into a new season of prayer, especially if you're a parent. During the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with a man I consider to be one of the great Christian leaders of our day. I'll talk with Dr. Larry Crabb about getting the most out of prayer in ways that just might revolutionize the spiritual life of your family. So stay with us because Homeward starts right now.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Larry Crabb is back with us. We're having our second conversation about making the most of your prayers. And last time, a great conversation about prayer and the depth of prayer and relating to God in really a different way. Your prayer life doesn't have to be boring. It should be a powerful way to establish a deeper relationship with God. Larry Crabb is a nationally recognized psychologist, speaker, and author. He's the founder and director of New Way Ministries, married to his wife, Rachel, and they live in Colorado. They have two grown sons and four grandchildren. Larry, welcome back to our program.
Great to be here, Jim.
You know, on that last program, Larry, you showed, in many ways, a wonderful way of experiencing a deeper relationship with God through prayer. Good for us, but also good for us as parents to teach to our kids as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you call it the Papa Prayer. Your book is called The Papa Prayer, The Prayer You've Never Prayed. And I just love the acronym and where it goes. And I want you just for a moment, although we talked about it last time, but for the benefit of those who didn't hear it, would you go through those four steps kind of briefly?
P-A-P-A. The first P stands for present. Stop pretending and be who you are in the presence of God. No illusions, no phony hypocrisy. Just say, God, I'm in a bad mood, I'm in a great mood, whatever. That's present. Second letter A is attend. Who do you think you're talking to when you're praying? Are you talking to a vending machine, putting enough quarters, getting your knees enough, you'll get what you want? Or are you talking to the sovereign God who just by wonderful reality happens to love you a bunch and wants to give you what is very, very best? So what does it mean to attend to God? Who do you think you're talking to when you pray? Third letter, P, purge. And this goes beyond just the obvious, I'm sorry I sinned yesterday, God, forgive me for being snippy with my wife. It has much more to do with, what do I value more than I value you? Purge yourself of anything that gets in the way of your relationship with the Lord. In the same way, you purge yourself of what gets in the way of your relationship with your good friend or your spouse. And the last letter, A, is approach. When you come to God, what are you coming to Him for? You're coming to Him asking Him for all these second things, all these blessings. And God is saying, I got something better for you. I got me. And our response is, I don't think that's what I had in mind. I just want all the blessings, you know. Christmas morning, I don't care if Dad's here, so long as the presents are beneath the tree. And God's saying, no, having Daddy here, that's the big deal.
Yeah.
And if there's no presents, I'm here. And He says, that's the best deal. And to come to God, approaching Him, to have a deeper relationship with Him, that's the Papa Prayer.
You know, so many people who call themselves Christ followers are really busy today.
Mm.
I was talking with a young woman who had a couple of kids, and she said, I really want time with God. I'm just too busy. I'm too busy taking care of the kids. I'm busy taking care of life. She has a part-time job. Her husband works full-time. They're trying to build the house, the family, et cetera.
Sure.
You know the story.
Been there, done that.
Exactly. And yet I was thinking about her because I was thinking if she was listening to what you just said, she would say, I want that.
Yes.
What does she do? She's stuck, she feels, because she's just so busy.
And you know, you don't need to find that hour of total quiet to pray the proper prayer. One of the beauties of this thing for me is that I can do this in the middle of a car drive. I can do this in the middle of all sorts of busyness. Mm. I mean, I want to get people to have their quiet time if they can, but the proper prayer you can say as you're driving your kid to the 14th soccer game of the week. You know, you can say, God, I am so frustrated right now. I wish I didn't have any kids at the moment. You know, you're presenting yourself to God. You're relating to God. You don't have to get in this church kind of a mood, you know, and be very quiet and have this funny Bible verses that you're quoting.
Right.
Just present yourself to God and say, God, right now I'm just so fed up with my kids driving me crazy. And yet, God, I don't know if I'm even listening to me. You just seem like you're a million miles away. But wait a minute, you did die for me. I guess that says something. Yeah, you really must love me a lot. All right, now you're attending. And then, God, you know, I was hoping for a better day. And I guess I'm really feeling sorry for myself. I wanted a better day than I wanted to know you and reflect you. You just purged. And then, God, in the middle of this, you know, picking up my 10th kid at the 15th soccer game, I really want to know you better. There's something in me that would like to be, to fall more in love with you. Mm. And to reflect you better as I go pick up my child. And maybe I could look at my child and say, good to see you, honey. How was your day? As opposed to, well, get in the car, we're late. And maybe I could do that as a way of saying, God, I know that's what you're like, and I want to reflect who you are to my child. You've just prayed the Papa prayer in the middle of your busy schedule.
Right. Busyness does block prayer, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure can. Well, and if busyness becomes compulsive, if our busyness is basically a way of filling our life without God, which often is the case, then yeah, busyness can, you gotta get quiet sometimes.
In your book, you use a great phrase, and I want to ask you what it means. What does it mean to abandon yourself to holiness?
Oh, that's, you know, as you bring that up, when I wrote that in the manuscript, my editor said exactly what you said. What does it mean to abandon yourself to holiness? Is it possible that in the core of my being, way down deep in the center of who I am as somebody who's made in the image of God, who is a follower of Jesus, is it possible that I really would like to relate to my spouse, my kids, my friends, and let me sound really elegant here, the same way that the Trinity relates among themselves, the same way the Father relates to the Son relates to the Father. Think about the inner life of that community. They're the only small group that gets along perfectly, you know, and how do they relate? And to abandon yourself to holiness means I would love to relate to my spouse, my friends, my kids, my audiences, whomever. I would like to relate the same way that you relate, God, because the way you relate is holy. You are a God who loves with purity. Wouldn't it be something if I could be a little more like that? Could I abandon myself to that as the deepest desire of my soul?
It takes honesty, doesn't it?
More than most of us are willing to have. I think that what the Papa Prayer has done for me, among other things, is this taught me something about courage, the courage to be exactly who I am in the presence of God.
In your book, you talked about becoming someone God really would enjoy. Isn't he already crazy about us?
You know, that's a hard question, because the immediate answer is, yeah, he really is, because his grace is real, his blood covers our sins. I think about my grandkids. You mentioned I have four. Let's talk for 2 hours about them. My oldest granddaughter, Josie, beautiful little girl, 8 years old, and she loves her pop-pop. That's my name. But you know, when she's 20 years old, if she loves me the same way then that she loves me now, I'll be heartbroken. Because right now, her love for me has very little to do, just because she's a young little kid, very little to do with my joy, with my pleasure. But when she's 20 and 30 and 40, if I'm still around, I hope she's looking at me and saying, I wonder how I can bring pleasure to my pop-pop. And God is crazy about me right where I am, but he wants me to grow into being a radically other-centered person who wants to live in this moment of my busy schedule, who wants to live in this moment when I get up and preach, who wants to live in this moment in the middle of an argument with my spouse. He wants me to develop into the kind of person that actually would like to bring pleasure to his heart because I really love him. That's what it means to bring glory to God. We all say the phrase, we do all things for the glory of God. What's that mean? That's just religious talk for most of us. But maybe it really means, could I be so in love with him that I want him to say, man, do I feel good looking at the way you live. Now, he loves me either way. If I go out and have an affair tonight, God forbid, will his love be less? No. But when I choose not to have an affair, but to love my wife, he gets more of a kick out of my life. He gets more pleasure. And do I really care about bringing him pleasure? That's kind of a new thought for me. Do I really care about bringing God pleasure? Can I affect how much pleasure he has? And my answer is, yeah, I can.
Well, it's a very radical way of looking at prayer.
Oh.
And a radical way of looking at relationship with God.
It gets me tingling when I think about it. You know what? My dad was a wonderful influence in my life, and we would drive home from church on Sunday morning, our little church of 50 people, having the Lord's Supper together. And so many times I heard him turn to Mom on the way home in the car, and I'm in the back seat, the little kid. And he would say things, many, many times he would say this, I think the Lord had a good time this morning. And my thought was, who cares? I was bored silly. You know, but it just kind of embedded in me. And I thought, I can give the Lord a good time. Well, I heard that when I was 6, 8, 10 years old. But now at age 61, it means something to me.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Soren Kierkegaard said, when we come to church, we should not say, how was it? As if in entertainment, we should say, how did I do?
Yeah.
That's a
it's
great
the
concept.
Same kind of a thought.
Very,
yeah.
very, very good. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. Don't go away. More to come. We're going to talk about the red dot and what that is.
Well, we'll have to stay focused during the break to make sure we come back and find out what that's all about. You're listening to Homeward Today with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Jim's in-studio guest today is Larry Crabb, author of the book called The Papa Prayer, P-A-P-A, and that's a process, actually, and we're talking about getting the most out of prayer. We'll have more in just a moment from Jim and Larry, actually, the conclusion of their two-part conversation. If you would like to hear this program again in its entirety, we stream audio at homeward.com. We're podcasting through iTunes. You can start your free iTunes subscription today if you go to homeward.com and hit the podcast button. We're all set up. You just links right into iTunes, and then you can add us to your library of programs that you podcast, or maybe we'll be the first one for you. Well, the podcasting works out so very, very nicely for so many different people. We have tens of thousands of listeners who podcast along with us all across the country and around the world every day. You can be that as well.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Boy, is this day going by so fast. What a privilege to have Dr. Larry Crabb with us. He is a nationally recognized psychologist, speaker, author, founder, director of New Way Ministries, lives in Colorado with his wife, Rachel, and their two grown sons. They probably don't live in, do they both live?
Well, one lives 10 minutes away, which okay. I'm thrilled for. Okay. Another one lives in Cleveland. That's okay.
Okay. Married to Rachel, they have two grown sons and four grandchildren. Larry, this conversation is going by so quickly, and I know that so many people who listen to Homeward deeply care about prayer, and yet a lot of them would say, I don't feel as close to God as I would want, and they're looking for a formula or some kind of a cutesy thing. And you're kind of saying there isn't necessarily this magic formula. It's building this unique relationship with God.
There's no formula to relationship with God any more than there's a formula to relationship with your spouse or your kids. It does take some work. It does take some attention. It does take some thought.
You talk about the red dot, and I think this is very helpful. First of all, is the red dot, how did you come up with that, and what does it mean?
You know, I've been a psychologist now for, 35 years? And one thing I've noticed is that when people get in the privacy of a psychologist's office, that sometimes they get a little more honest than they normally are, and they're able to say, let me tell you where I am right now. And the thought that occurred to me is when you go into a suburban mall, you know, a huge sprawling mall you've never been in before, what's the first thing you look for? Sometimes it's Starbucks, but if you're looking for a particular store, the first thing you want to find is that directory. And on the directory, you want to find the red dot that has a line pointing from it that says three words, you are here. And I think that many times when we Christians go to church, we never embrace our red dot. We never ask, where am I right now? When we're talking with our spouse, but even more importantly, when we're talking with God, do we stop by saying, what's my red dot? What's my red dot right this moment? Where am I right now? I'm sitting here talking with you. What's my red dot? Well, I'm really having a good time, actually. That's part of my red dot. I'm loving chatting with you, and I'm hoping that I'm finding myself thinking, you know, there's a desire within me that maybe as we're talking now, we might actually encourage a few people. Wouldn't that be fun? And there's some red dot within me that has that desire. I'm also really tired. And part of my red dot is, you know, if we were going to do two more hours of this, I think I'd need a couple cups of coffee. So my red dot is multifaceted, but it's where I am in the moment. Where am I really? And I think God wants us to be where we really are in the moment. And Christian community is not too strong at doing that sometimes.
What I hear you saying is it's okay that God accepts you. If you're saying, I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm mad at you right now, you're saying that's okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wonderful. I'm not saying that my red dot is maybe where I would like to be, but God accepts me, and God, now here's a more important sense. God does accept me, but he meets me not where I wish I were. He meets me where I am. He meets me not where I pretend to be. He meets me where I am, and that's what I mean by my red dot.
Larry, how helpful is the Papa Prayer for parents, especially those who may have grown up in somewhat of a dysfunctional home?
We have four grandkids, and so I'm a parent, but I'm also a grandparent. My five-year-old grandson, Jake, I was sitting with him just rather recently, and we were having kind of a meaningful little pop-up grandson time. I said, Jake, let's pray. And he said, okay, you know, and I said, you start. And so he started his what every five-year-old in a Christian home would start. Dear Jesus, bless mommy and daddy, and don't let us get sick. Amen. And I thought, that's wonderful. And then I thought, I wonder what it would mean to teach my grandson to pray the Papa Prayer. And so I said to him, Jake, What's happening inside of you right now? Didn't use the red dot. He wouldn't know what that was. But I said, what are you feeling right now? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, think about it and just tell God. And he went, huh. He thought for a little bit and he said, God, I really like being here with Pop-Pop. I'm sort of happy right now. That's the Papa prayer. He just began by presenting himself. Mm. Jake, who do you think you're talking to? God. Well, who is he? Well, I don't know. Well, think about it. Huh. Well, I guess he's kind of like my dad. He likes spending time with me. Yeah, Jake, that's it. I'm getting tingly talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, you ever do anything wrong? Well, yeah, I suppose. You want to tell God about that? Well, you know, I sometimes get mad at my sister. All right. How do you feel about that? Well, I guess I shouldn't do that. Tell God that. God, I get mad at my sister, and I guess that's not right. Sorry. All right. Well, you're purging yourself. That's good. Jake, what would you really like? To go play? No, enough of this religious stuff with Pop-Pop. But we kind of went on that little bit, and you know, he's 5 years old. What are you going to do? But we began talking about, doesn't it feel good when somebody really looks at you and says, you're just the greatest little kid in the whole wide world? I think that. Your mom thinks that. Your dad thinks that. Your nana thinks that. God thinks it even more. Wouldn't you like to know him? Well, yeah, I guess I would. Tell him that. Well, God, I guess I'd like to know you. You just approached. He just prayed the Papa prayer. I think that if we can start teaching our kids to be honest in the presence of God and go through the whole PAPA at their level,
right.
I think kids maybe might get a different view of prayer. Because prayer for most Christians means what? Get something that you think you need.
Right.
That's what prayer usually means to people.
Right. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Asking. You know, a lot of people would say if you're going to pray, you're just going to ask God for something. Talk about that.
I was doing a Papa prayer retreat with about 10 people in the mountains for a whole weekend just a little while ago. And in the middle of this retreat, there was a 75-year-old retired attorney, very successful, wealthy, good, godly man, and he began to cry in the middle of one of our discussions about the Papa prayer. Well, I'm a trained psychologist, so I noticed he was crying, and I picked up on it, and I said, you seem to be crying. And he said, well, I am.
You are trained.
Yeah, I pick it right up. I'm smart. And I said, tell me what's happening. And he said, I've been an attorney now for a number of years, and the word pray is a term that we use in legalese, and it always means to come to the judge and present your case to coax him to see it your way so you get what you want out of this opportunity. And he said, I've never seen it before. That's the only way I've ever talked to God. You're talking about relating to the judge as your friend. For a lawyer, that's a foreign thought. I'm there to present my case as opposed to make a friend out of the judge. He said, I'm just overwhelmed with the possibility of relating to God in a way that has never occurred to me in my 75 years of living. We think of prayer as simply asking, petitioning. Does prayer include that? You bet. God enjoys it when we come before him and say, God, I'm really hurting about this. My kid is breaking my heart. Would you please bless my son? And I lost my job and I want a better job. And that, we should be doing that. Of course we should be doing that. But if that's central, if that's the central understanding of prayer, then can I put it in a way that'll sound a little harsh? We're really functioning like spoiled brats. Gimme, 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 gimme. It's all about me, 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 me. As opposed to saying, God, I really do want all those things. I can't pretend I don't. But, you know, can I tell you, I'm really mad at you for not giving it to me? Rather than asking you for it, can I relate to you about my frustration? Now we're putting relational prayer in the center. And when relational prayer is in the center and we start relating to God, our petitions begin to change just a little bit. Delight yourself in the Lord and the desires of your heart change a little bit. And then he starts giving you what you really want in the core of your being. Relational prayer needs to be the center. And that's why the Papa prayer was written.
That's pretty much the first step for a parent to take if he or she is looking to be a role model of authentic prayer for their children.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that if, you know, somebody put it this way, that talking about parents, never answer a question that the quality of your life has not provoked your child to ask. I mean, think about that. That I want to teach my kids to be honest. I want to teach my kids to love other people. Have they ever looked at me and said, man, the way you love people puzzles me. How do you pull that off? I mean, you're so honest. I don't get it, Pop. You know, where have I puzzled my children? And if I'm not walking with the Lord, if I'm not relating to God in a way that mystifies them, then I'm not going to have the kind of impact I'd like to have on my kids. Rather than just when our kids were born, I was going to be the best dad the world's ever known. I mean, I did Bible studies. We had Old Testament survey, New Testament survey. We did all sorts of things that drove them crazy. For family devotions, I bought an overhead projector. Can you believe that? I mean, I really did. By the time my kids were five, they could define propitiation. I mean, you know, I was going to do it, right? And I think I had very little impact. But when I started pursuing the Lord, and my kids would look at me and say, Dad, we don't get how you handled cancer. We don't get how your faith survived that. We don't get how your faith survived your brother's death in an airplane crash. We don't understand some of this stuff. Then I have an audience. When the quality of my life, the quality of my relationship with God puzzles somebody else, then they listen. And not until.
That's the desire of our heart. Larry Crabb, thank you for being with us.
Great privilege for me.
Well, what a privilege for us to have Larry Crabb with us today talking about getting the most out of prayer. I can't think of a better person in the entire universe to have this conversation with than Dr. Crabb. So I appreciate so much him being with us today. This is a topic that is extremely important for anyone who is a Christ follower, but especially for us as parents, because our kids are taking the cues from us in terms of what their prayer life should look like. Now, don't expect your kids to be great spiritual giants if you're not willing to spend some time in prayer yourself. So many times, we let the busyness of life dictate the quality of our prayer life. We start going over kind of a shopping list with God and then just expect that he'll answer all of our requests. Well, I believe that the moment we stop doing that will be the point that we start really getting the most out of prayer. Now, it's crucial to keep in mind that there really are no set formulas for prayer. I don't want you to hear that from this conversation today. I know in my own prayer life, I use somewhat of a formula. It's an acrostic that spells out the word ACTS. That stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Dr. Crabb recommends what he calls the Papa Prayer, presenting yourself to God, attending to how you're thinking of God at the moment, purging yourself of anything that blocks your relationship with God, which would be confession, in other words, sin, and then approaching God as the first thing in your life. Now, those sound somewhat like they are formulas, but it just helps you get closer to God. And if it does, use it. Well, as I mentioned, it's not a matter of the right formula, but rather it's a case of changing the way you think and you feel about prayer. I mean, let me urge you to not turn God into a gift-giving genie. A lot of times we do that. Start really using prayer as a way to deepen your relationship with God.
Amen to that. And if you are a parent who's saying, okay, I want to get more out of my prayer life, I want to spend more time studying God's Word, I want to pass these truths on to my kids, go to homeward.com. Start by signing up for our free daily online devotional. We call it our Evotional. It's just a little nugget of encouragement from God's Word, a scripture verse or two, and Dr. Jim Burns and the staff here at Homeward put these together. And they're absolutely free. You can go to homeward.com if you're not there already. Sign up for your free subscription to the Homeward Daily Online Devotional and join the 25,000 or so people who get this each and every day. And then also, look at the books that we have available for you online. Like Jim has a book called Faith Conversations for Families that's a real help for you as you're trying to impart this wisdom to your kids. So you don't have to back away from quote-unquote family devotions. Jim takes you through step-by-step procedures as how you can have these faith conversations and get the kids thinking spiritually, thinking Christianly about the world they live in. If you'd like more information on how to order a copy of this book, you can visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
Brennan Manning used to go on week-long prayer retreats by himself. And once before he was getting ready to leave on one of those retreats, Larry Crabb asked him how God responded to him after he had spent an entire week doing nothing but praying. Well, Brennan looked a little puzzled at first, and then he said, well, I've never thought about what I get out of it. I just figure God likes it when I show up. Prayer is more about relationship building with God than it is about wish fulfillment. And I want to encourage you to start spending more time in prayer in relationship building, and then watch what it does for your kids and the example it sets for your kids as well. Well, that's going to be it for today. Be sure to join me again next time here on Homeward. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.